Hey, Songtown. Today, I'm here with Clay Mills.
You're always here with me.
Yeah, this is true. It's predictable. And we're going to talk about why people skip your songs.
Oh.
I saw a statistic the other day. I believe I'm correct in saying it was 24% of people skip a song within 5 seconds on Spotify. And on Spotify, they have to listen 30 seconds for it to even count as a play.
Right. So your job is to get past that 30-second mark.
Yeah.
In fact, even with YouTube, they say that, you have to have a 30-second mark of your video. If you don't have like more than 70% of the people still there, then they're not going to show your video to people.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like the world we're living in, that 30-second mark. So you got to have a lot going on in the first 30 seconds.
Yes, you do.
A good opening line.
There you go.
We didn't even put that on the list for today.
Well, kind of in there. Yeah. So number one is no unique sound. So I've actually had A&R people stop my song in the intro.
Yeah.
And just say, I've heard this a million times. So, you know, if when your song comes on, if there's not something that sound-wise that grabs people, they're probably going to skip it. And like Billie Jean is a great example of like when you hear that start of that song, you know it.
Right.
You know what's coming, you know. What are your thoughts on that as a melodic master?
No, I agree. And in fact, you know, talking about how an A&R person would turn off your song like, oh, I've heard that guitar lick before or whatever. So I used to be real conscious of it. And when I would take songs in to get demoed, rather than let the guitar player come up with their own riff, I would write it for them because I knew they were going to play something that was on the last 100 demos they did, mm-hmm. maybe on the last record they did, or something very similar.
Yeah.
And so I would always go in, and every one of my big songs had a guitar intro or a piano riff or something that I created. I was just not going to hand it over to stock musicians to create their thing, which is the other problem I have with just uploading your song to Suno. It's instantly going to sound like 1,000 other songs it did that day. So I think you have to be careful. When I use Suno, I'm still trying to download the stems and create as much unique sounds on top of what it's doing, you know. Pull out the guitar they did, put my own guitar on there, or whatever it is. I'm always trying to make sure that I just don't hand my song over and let something stock happen mm-hmm. with it, you know. Just like you agonize over the right lyric, agonize over musically what you're doing as well, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to think, oh, it's just the intro. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, but you need to pull people in from the start. The next one on our list is predictable lyric.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that just breaks my heart when I'm listening to a new song and I go, I know the next line. I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
You know, because the rhymes are so predictable or just the writing is so predictable. And so, you know, you need to give people something that they haven't heard, that stops them in their tracks, or, you know, that makes them go, wait, I got to hear more about this, you know?
Yes. Starting with from the very first line.
Yeah. That opening line of your song is so important to draw people in. And my song must be doing something right. It starts off, a woman is a mystery. A man just can't understand. So people go, well, what does he mean by that? You know, I want to know more about what this guy's
saying. And every woman's going, hell yeah.
That's my man. He doesn't have a clue.
It's relatable. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to think about your lyrics in terms of, I don't want to be predictable. I want to come up with things that are fresh. I don't want to use a lot of cliches. Somebody asked me in my class this past week about, you know, well, are you saying you should never use cliches? And my answer was, no, they work because they say a particular thing in a certain way. But if I look at a song and every line's a cliche,
right,
then there's nothing new going on. So what I want to see is a cliche used in a fresh way or with a fresh angle or with a slight tweak to it that makes it different, you know? And so,
yeah, it's not always, yeah, you have this cliche here, but it's, what came before and what came after is going to affect the way that sits, because a cliche can just be a figure of speech, yeah. you know? And so what if you didn't use figures of speech, then it's not as conversational. If every line's a piece of poetry, that's not going to fare well either.
Right.
So I think, you know, it has to be a balance. But cliches are just figures of speech. You need them, but it's how you surround them and how you use them.
Yeah. If they're in a sea of cliches, it's not going to work.
I only use cliches.
Cliches. Yes. Very good. Number three is lack of contrast. I know you have lots of thoughts on this.
And in fact, we've done entire videos on melody contrast. And I'll pop my melody contrast checklist in the comments down below and in the description. Check it out. Download that. It's free. But basically, they're just things you do in a melody. If you get too much sameness, people tune out. So learning to vary your entrance point, where your vocal comes in. If it comes in on the downbeat in the verse, don't come in the downbeat of the chorus. Come in before the downbeat or after the downbeat. If you have a high money note in your verse or in your chorus, say if your highest note of your song's in the chorus, well, don't hammer that note in the verse either, because you want to have lower notes in the verse, higher notes in the chorus. So there's just like a whole list of these things. And I'm not saying you can't ever break these rules. They're not rules. They're just tools that we use, but you've got to have enough of these things working in your melody so that it keeps people's attention, you know?
Yeah. And you
are, here's another one, line lengths. So if every line the singer sings is the same length, same amount of words all the way down the page, people are going to tune out. So the writers that consistently write big songs like Ed Sheeran, Taylor Swift, Coldplay, whoever, these bands that just, and artists that consistently come out year after year with big songs, they don't do these things that technically tear your song down. They'll have a verse that's this long, then the pre-chorus will be longer, then the chorus will have shorter phrases. You know, they're constantly varying all these contrast elements.
You want contrast melodically, you want contrast
lyrically,
phrasing wise,
production wise, you have a drop chorus that contrasts, you know, this big verse or vice versa. You have a stripped down verse that hits with a big chorus, you know, go halftime in the bridge, whatever it is, you know, it's all about contrast.
Yeah, absolutely. Number four, and this is a big one, is if a song is flat emotionally, they're going to skip it. Because if a song comes on and I don't feel something, I'm done. You know, I have no interest in hearing that song. You know, it doesn't have to make me cry. It can make me laugh. It can make me want to get up and dance, make me want to drive faster, you know. But if I don't feel something when I hear it and it's just flat emotionally, I think of it as kind of the Seinfeld of songs. Like if it's a song about nothing, you know, and it doesn't move me in any way, then it's just not going to be worth listening to. People are going to skip it.
So you're saying don't be subtle about emotion in songs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
make people feel.
Yeah. And that's why people listen to songs, is it makes them feel something.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. My basic personality is very flat. But when I write songs, I don't do that.
Yes. I know what you mean. And the last one is if you're trying to be a copycat, and just copying something that's on the radio, people are probably going to be able to tell that, you know, that you're doing that. And there was a great example. There were some guys that called themselves the Peach Pickers that wrote a certain style of songs for a period in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Great writers, all of them. And lots of people tried to copy that.
Yeah.
But those guys, that's how they grew up. I mean, they were writing songs that were authentic. And then other people are trying to copy them just to make the money, because those songs were really working.
Right. That's the thing people don't understand. They go, oh, the writers are just writing this to make money. It's usually the people that are authentic And that's what they are really into. That's how they grew up. They're writing that, and they do well because they're being authentic. All these people that are trying to copy that are not usually successful. Yeah. And first of all, if I wanted that sound, I would just go to the guys that do it so well.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to break into the music business, how can you break in doing what someone else is doing? That person is already getting all the work for that sound.
Yeah.
So if you sound like that, they're just going to call the other person, and you know it's not going to be authentic to you, and it's not going to be something that people are going to come to you for. So we want people to come to us because they like what we do.
Yeah.
You know, and in fact, we're teaching a whole crash course coming up, and that's the whole basis, is figuring out you're going to learn what your songwriting fingerprint is, and then how to grow that and develop it into something that people will seek you out for, your own style, your own fingerprint.
I had a dad bring his daughter to me one time for a mentoring session, and he said, you know, she's the next Taylor Swift. And I said, well, we've already got a really good Taylor Swift, you know? The Taylor Swift is really good at what
she
does.
You're not going to beat her at this stage.
No, no. And so you have to figure out, I mean, you can still, if you like a certain kind of thing, you can still write that, but you have to figure out how to write it your way and not copy somebody else.
Yeah. And Taylor wasn't like anyone else when she started. Right. She was herself, you know?
So they skip your song if it doesn't have a unique sound, if it's predictable lyrically, if it has a lack of contrast, if it's flat emotionally, or if you're just copying something.
Yeah.
Take care.
Next time.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.